You're not gonna say it, somebody should. Let's talk about two time. Let's talk about bum one, yeah. Asking the questions that nobody could. Like, where are the bone dogs in? Are they in harmony?
Hey, everybody. Welcome. Today, we've got for you the continuation of the tale, Save the Arcade. Will we get to the thrilling conclusion? Probably not, because there's no thrilling conclusion. There is a conclusion, though, so I guess that remains to be seen. If you hear any trumpeteering going on, that's because my a-hole trumpeteer neighbor thinks that it's okay to play the trumpet loud as shit at 11:30 p.m. Now, granted, it's a Friday, but I mean, come on. Playing your musical instrument, you know? It's like, if I had to encourage people to get into a hobby, I'd be like, well, what is a hobby that doesn't bother anybody else? Like, if I sit here and I'm writing, it can't really bother anyone else. But trumpeteering, boy, that sure is annoying. So anyway, if you recall where we left off last episode, our heroes were trying to raise money for their arcade, and they made a plan for each day of the week so that their business was not purchased by evil Japanese condo developers, as they are outlined in the book. Excuse me, I don't know what's going on. Okay. That's better. And so we're at Monday. Monday, bikini car wash. Let me tell you, people really like to have their cars washed. I don't know why. I never understood that. I'm an easily distracted driver, so maybe that's part of it. When there's reflections of stuff you can see off the hood of the car, that means it's almost a guarantee I'll wreck. And let me tell you something else. It turns out people are not fooled by bikinis into thinking a dirty car is clean. See, I kind of thought that when you had a bikini car wash, it was all about the bikinis. But it turns out that people want a decent car wash, too, and they get all pissed off if they leave and their car isn't totally clean, even if we delivered on the bikinis. And we totally delivered on the bikinis. We hired these three ladies from a gentleman's club called Ringers. A gentleman's club, in case you didn't know, is a place where gentlemen go and look at ladies take their clothes off while the greatest hits of the 1980s blare over broken speakers. The way you know it's for gentlemen is that the beer is really expensive. Only gentlemen can afford that expensive of Miller Lite, and sometimes even that sports beer where you drink it while you run a marathon or something. We decided to pick three really different kinds of ladies, just in case people wanted something different. We hired your standard blonde lady, who wasn't really blonde, but whatever. Who am I, the police? We hired a lady with dark brown hair, and we hired a lady with red hair. I told you I'm not very good at describing people, but it's not all my fault. The ladies were hard to see. Another thing about a gentleman's club is that it's really dark inside. Gentlemen don't enjoy bright things. This is why vampires also hate the light. It's not because it hurts them. They're just the ultimate gentlemen and have the ultimate reaction to things that hurt gentlemen. We had our ladies, we had our big sign out front that said bikini car wash $25, and we had three buckets and three sponges. We were ready to go, we thought. I have some advice about hiring ladies to do a bikini car wash. You have to make sure that they bring their own bikinis, because our bikini ladies didn't, and we had to go get some. There are a lot of bikinis at the store. Just go to one. There's all kinds. But what the bikinis don't do is tell you what kind of person they're for. They should have a picture on the tag, Jason said, of the shape of the person this is for. We tried to imagine the kind of bikini we needed for the women we hired, but it was hard. We knew they had different body shapes, big boobs, really big boobs, bodacious, borderline ridiculous boobs, but it was hard to figure out exactly what to get. It's when we went to the sports section and bought some different kinds of balls and then went back to the bikinis and tried on the tops with the different kind of balls in their stand-in boobs. That's when we were getting close, and also when we were asked to leave the store. But the good news is we broke a bunch of the bikini tops when we tried to fit the balls in them, and the store has a strict break-it-buy-it policy, so we didn't leave empty-handed. We were so busy with the bikini part of the bikini car wash that we forgot about the car wash part. Completely. which is why we had these babes standing out back of the arcade, and when the first car pulled in, they just shrugged and looked at Jason. Shit, Jason said. The guy in the car beeped his horn twice. Jason said, you know, just like, see if you can maybe wipe off his car with your hands or something. One of the babes walked off right then. This is the one I assume was the smartest. If we were having a smartness test, she would have won right then. Then one of the babes tried to pick some of the little bugs off the front of the car with her fingernail. She picked twice, and then she quit too. Second smartest. The third babe was not the smartest in this test, but she was a lot more of a trooper. She sat on the car's hood and rubbed her boobs on the windshield. Then she leaned back and signaled the guy inside to turn on that blue juice that cleans the windshield. He did, and then the babe rubbed the juice around the windshield with her boobs, which didn't work as good as the wipers, but it mostly worked, and in a more boob-centric way. By the end of the day, we didn't have a lot of takers. It turns out people wanted to have their cars washed and see boobs. They wanted everything, really. Greedy. But we made a little cash off of perverts, who don't care if they have dirty cars because they're morally reprehensible, so meh, why clean a car? Perverts. The only people you can trust to drive over and pay you money to see boobs and not expect a damn car wash, too. Even with the perverts' wadded, moist bills, we didn't have enough to save the arcade. We moved on to Tuesday in Phase 2. Tuesday. Jeep tours. Agnes's idea was topless Jeep tours. You get a girl to drive a Jeep into a nature, and then she takes her top off. It has it all. Nature, topless babe, Ansel Adams is happy, John Muir is happy, Larry Flint is happy. Every type of person is happy. This time we only needed one babe, and we rehired the trooper babe from the day before, Fawn. Hang on here. She did a good job with the car wash, considering, and she had the whole night to scrub her boobs clean and get them ready for today. Agnes bought a Jeep, the one that guy Brad bought with some of his... What? Oh, okay. Sorry, guys. I'm losing my mind. Agnes borrowed a Jeep, the one that guy Brad bought with some of his money when he took Agnes to the prom, so we were all set with that. All we needed to do now was wait for the money to roll in, the Jeep to roll out, and the boobs to roll whichever way it is boobs roll. Except for the problem that we didn't really know where Fawn should drive the Jeep. The thing is, we lived kind of close to the ocean, but it's not the kind of ocean where you can drive on the sand like in the car commercials or in those old beach movies. In those old beach movies, it looked like you could drive into the water even, open the car door and step right into the surf where you could smoke a cigarette and just eat a baby turtle straight out of the water. That was the good old days when you didn't have to walk across all the stupid sand. I hate sand. I feel like it's God's way of cursing us for having fun at the beach. He's all, sure, the water is fun, but enjoy crossing this enormous pile of hot dirt to get there. And glass. I don't know how much God was involved in inventing glass, but I feel like he should have stepped in some at some point and made it less sharp. Once God saw that humans had invented glass for beers and they'd also invented hot tubs, he should have said, you know, maybe I'll make a little tweak here. Anyway, we needed a secret kind of place that was also nature-y for the Jeep to go. It had to be nature-y because that's what the tour was, and it had to be secret because that's where the boobs could be. We argued about the best place when one of the perverts from yesterday walked up and said, I'm here for the topless Jeep tours. Jason said, great, and where did you want the Jeep tour to go? We have several packages that... I don't really care, the pervert said. I just want to see the boobs, mostly. I said it before and I'll say it again. You can always count on a pervert. Fawn drove the pervert into the alley next to the arcade. The Jeep was mostly hidden back there by the dumpster and then another huge dumpster that was mostly for grease. Plus, not many people went back there because all the raccoons went back there because of the grease. If you went back there, you had to be really careful because the last thing you want to do is slip and fall in the grease and then be covered in hungry raccoons. They weren't gone for very long when Fawn drove back around to the front of the arcade and let the pervert out. He hustled away quick. He looked sweaty. He looked sweaty, I said to Fawn. She said, yeah, well, he's a pervert. They're a sweaty people. I said, do you think it's mean to be so mean to perverts? Like to say they're sweaty and stuff? She tucked more of her boob back into her tube top. No, she said. I said, don't you think, I don't know, it'll drive their business away? She said, no. I thought about it and said, yeah, I guess you're right, because they're perverts. She said, now you're getting it. The afternoon went pretty well until the cops came. That's something I'm learning this week. Whenever you're trying to make money, that's the favorite thing for cops to ruin. It's like they know money is happening somewhere and they'll be damned if they don't get to ruin it. This cop was extra mad. He was sweaty and had a mustache, and Agnes kept yelling for him to get in line with the other perverts. By the time he got up to the arcade, past all the perverts, he was pretty pissed off. Who wouldn't be? That's a lot of pervert to wade through. We have a strange town. The cop said, "You can't run this operation." Agnes said, "What, nature tours?" The cop said, "No, a topless woman in the alley." Agnes said, "But that's not what's happening. They're having an off-road adventure. And sometimes a woman's top will fly off or something if you're bouncing around a lot. I'm a woman. I know." The cop said, "They're in the alley. That's not off-road." Agnes said, "Oh, really? Then how come alleys don't have names like roads?" The officer stroked his mustache. He was either thinking that Agnes had a good point, or maybe that he should try to get an alley named in his honor because most of the good streets were taken. But if you took a nice alley, that might be pretty sweet. The cop said, "Listen, I don't want to be a jerk about it, but you have to stop. You can't," he looked down the sidewalk in front of the arcade, "you can't gather this many perverts in one spot. It's just not going to work." Agnes said, "This is a legitimate business, sir. These people go on tours, they come back happy. What's the problem?" The cop said, "How is this a tour? They're just going in the alley for 2 minutes, and these perverts are out of control." The cop pointed to a man standing on the sidewalk with what looked like a popcorn bucket stuck on the front of his pants. The cop said, "That man's doing the popcorn trick, standing up, outside, nowhere near a movie theater." Agnes said, "Still, it's nature. There's raccoons. They're still seeing stuff. That's what a tour is. Maybe you want to see some old piece of shit sandstone. Maybe I want to see some boobs. I think what we're learning here is that you and I aren't so different." The cop sighed, and then he put handcuffs on Agnes and put her in the cop car. Wednesday, which had no plan to speak of. Wednesday's plan was supposed to be Ben's day. As bad and illegal as our other ideas were, his plan seemed to be just killing someone. I'm not even sure how we were supposed to get money from it. I think he just wanted to kill this guy he didn't like and was using the confusion from the whole week to make that happen. We talked it over and ended up wasting the whole day trying to get him to explain. Ben is real fucked up, you guys. We need to not hang out with him anymore. Thursday, designated party day. Thursday was the day we planned for the party day because we thought surely one of our earlier plans would have worked out and by Thursday all would be good. None of our earlier plans worked out, but damn it, that didn't mean we were going to give up. So Jason closed the arcade to the public and we spent the day partying, doing too much drinking and celebrating the way we would have if we'd saved the arcade. Agnes told us this fun party game she called "Bring All Your Pills" and we put them in a bucket and then just eat handfuls of them. I guess maybe other people have more exciting pills for a mix-em-up of this for this kind of thing, and maybe that's the kind of people Agnes goes to parties with. The only thing I had was Zantac, but I wanted to be part of the team, so I snuck away from the party and walked to the beach where I sat on the sidewalk, punched the pills out of the foil, and then scraped them on the cement so they didn't say Zantac on the front anymore. Even though I think Zantac is really awesome and has changed my life, I don't think I would get much party credit for having it. It was peaceful, and I kind of felt like maybe everything would be okay without the arcade. There was wind in my hair, Zantac in my belly, and in front of me, the beach, where a group of babes were playing volleyball. While I watched the volleyball, I almost had an idea. It's like it was right in front of me. Some way we could save the arcade. I watched the volleyball some more, and really mostly watched the volleyball players some more. It didn't look that hard. Some of them weren't even in shape. Then a paper blew into my face. It said, "Volleyball tournament, Friday, big cash prizes." I took it off my face and let the wind blow it away again. It was very annoying because it's not every day you get to watch babes play volleyball, and that stupid paper wrecked my view for a couple seconds. I knew that was when I was on my deathbed, I'd regret missing those couple seconds. I redoubled my efforts of staring at girls, but then someone hit the volleyball hard and the game was over. The players all went to the middle and high-fived, and then one of them took some money out of her bikini bottom and gave it to the other team's captain. They must have made a bet on the game, and a big one if that wad of cash was any indication. I stood up to go, and that's when one of the babes who was playing volleyball, her top went like sproing and just popped off. It was great. I knew there was a reason I came to the beach. And that's when it hit me, like a bikini top shot off by the power of bodaciousness. I ran back to the arcade as fast as I could, which was really slow because of the great thing I saw and how that filled my penis with blood and made it hard. What? That's what happened. When I got there, I was all, "Guys, I know how we can..." save the arcade. Friday, beach volleyball saves the arcade. Everything was set. We arrived at the beach, ready to play volleyball. Ben had called the Japanese guys, and they were there, ready to play, winner take all for the fate of the arcade. The rest of us had spent a Zantac-fueled Thursday running around town, and all the signs we saw for the volleyball tournament, we added in the word topless with marker. The whole thing was chaos when we got there on Friday. Most of the people showed up ready to play topless volleyball or watch topless volleyball. The perverts were there in force, even the popcorn trick guy, except this time he was sitting down on the bleachers with his popcorn bucket. I gave him a thumbs up, and he smiled at me and thumbs-upped me back. The organizers had a brief but loud argument about what to do. On the one hand, they didn't plan a topless volleyball tournament. On the other hand, they had record attendance, players and spectators. The bleachers were completely full, and so was the tournament. The argument got louder, and someone pointed at the popcorn trick guy and said, "Is that what we want, these perverts?" Popcorn trick guy said, "Hey, my money spends. If this isn't topless, I'm out of here." Then he stood, and the popcorn bucket was still stuck to the front of his pants, and because there was no popcorn in the bucket, you could see his whole entire penis. Just like we learned this week, the tournament organizers learned a valuable lesson about perverts. In between times they're paying fines and court fees, perverts have lots of money because they're too weird to spend money on dates. The one tournament organizer said something about integrity, kicked some sand at the other guy, and then he left. He was wearing these short white shorts the whole time, and let me tell you, it's hard to take a stand and be cool in short white shorts. Jason called us over for a team meeting. We circled up, those of us who weren't on the team and those who were. Oh yeah, the other part of the plan. Our team was all ringers. I didn't know what a ringer was before. I thought it had something to do with butt stuff. But what a ringer is, it's someone who's really good at a sport, and they take the place of someone who's really bad at a sport. Our ringers all came from the same strip club as before, the one called Ringers. This name also may have had something to do with me getting the wrong idea about what a ringer is. It was the three ladies from before, the car wash. Two could play at a time, and one had to sit out. The other teams warmed up and played volleyball and hit the ball and did that stuff, while our team warmed up lubricants and oils and other stuff that they were going to use to win the tournament. Here was the plan. We had no idea if our ringers were good at volleyball, but we figured they would be good at distracting the other teams. And that's how we would win. And then we would win the arcade back when, in the final, our team went up against the Japanese businessmen. I won't bother you with the details of the early parts of the tournament. This is the kind of thing that could easily be handled in a montage if this was a movie. That's why books are never as good as movies. They can't really do a montage with music. The best I can do to montage this part is if you put Hearts on Fire and then read this, and then try to imagine it's happening in time with the music. Clip. Our team is losing. Then they take a time out to oil up. And one of the guys on the other team walks straight into a pole that holds up the net. He's out cold and they can't continue. Win. Clip. One of our team members takes a dive, stands up, and has left two giant holes in the ground where she was lying flat. Clip. There's a guy who is in control of the scoreboard, and he puts it to 10 and then shows it to one of our team members. She blows him a kiss. He puts it up to however many it takes to win volleyball. Win. This montage goes on for about exactly 4 minutes and 17 seconds because that's how long Hearts on Fire is, and then it's time for our team to face off against the evil Japanese businessmen in the final. What we didn't expect was that the evil Japanese businessmen had ringers of their own. Themselves. They showed up to the final almost entirely nude, just little Speedos with a red dot in the middle of their butts. And these butts, let me tell you, I thought I had our perverts pegged, but these perverts, to their credit, were just as excited about a juicy man butt as they were about bodacious babes. Not only that, but what was in the front, let's not even go there. And these dudes were ripped. I had no idea that under those suits, these were like seriously beautiful men. And under those suits, under those ripped bodies, these guys were seriously good at volleyball. They destroyed our team of ringers. It was a shellacking. One of them, the one I called Crazen before, he did a backflip every time they scored a point. Until they scored so many points so fast in a row that he had to stop because of dizziness. You can't just keep doing backflips and not feel like shit. It came down to the last point. It was tense in the stands. Well, in the part of the stands where the four of us who cared about arcades sat. I think everyone else was pretty sure we were going to lose. Just then I had an idea. Guys, Let's make sure before these babes leave that we take a team picture, you know, for to look at later, and then rub our bodies while we look at it later. It wasn't an idea that would help us win the game, but it was an idea, and that's when I had it. Plus, it would probably help with the sadness of losing the game. The Japanese businessmen were ready to serve when a phone started ringing. The businessmen looked at each other, then the one who was off to the side ran off to answer. The captain, Mustache, called a timeout, and him and the others ran to the one guy's side and huddled around him, and when he hung up the phone, he started crying. One of the businessmen walked over to the ref, and he whispered something in his ear. The ref stood up and said, "Due to a sudden death in the family, Team Ripsky Business has forfeited. Team Arcade wins." Good news. Someone's mom is dead. It turned out one of the businessman's mom had died in a bicycle accident. Just in the nick of time. We tried not to smile and laugh as we approached the three men, and we all shook hands. Jason said, "Well, I'm sorry for your loss. At volleyball, I mean. And the other thing. I'm sorry for all the losses." Crazen said, "Thank you. It just didn't seem right to play on." Jason said, "I understand. I hope you don't think it's wrong of me to ask for the deed to the arcade now." Crazen said, "What do you mean?" Jason said, "Well, we won. We won the arcade back." Crazen and Mustache talked really fast and a lot. Then Crazen said, "We never said that." Jason said, "Yes, you did." Crazen said, "No, we didn't." He pointed at Ben. "He called us and told us there was a volleyball tournament, and he said he was going to kick our ass. But nobody ever said anything about wagering the building." Jason looked at Ben. "Nice. Nice going, fuck up." Ben said, "I kind of forgot. You know, I was trash talking and I got caught up in the moment." Crazen said, "He was. In fact, we'd like to beat him up a little now, if we could." Jason sighed. "Yeah, go ahead. You earned it." Two of the businessmen grabbed Ben and took him over to the other businessman who was still holding the phone and crying. They said something to him, I think something like, "Maybe it would make you feel better to kick this guy in the stomach." The phone guy nodded and he spun and kicked Ben really hard in the stomach. It looked like the phone guy did feel a little better. Epilogue. These things have a way of working out. Here's the way this had of working out. Remember how I told you Agnes had a bunch of bets against her that she would never be prom queen? Well, the guy who made all the bets, Brad, he felt bad about it. Not super bad. He made like a lot of money, but he felt like $10,000 bad, which was enough to buy ringers off the owner. We moved all the stuff from arcade into ringers, and we had the city's first arcade slash strip club. It worked out pretty well. The high score names people programmed into the machines were vile, but you know, what can you do? Agnes ran the strip club side of things. She was really good at it. She had a knack for being motherly and really preying on young people who blew into town and ruining their lives by convincing them to dance. Agnes took up smoking cigars, and eventually she married Brad, the guy who tried to make her prom queen. It was happily ever after until she stabbed him with an ice pick, which was weird because they didn't have ice that needed picking, and she just bought it to stab the guy with. "I always wanted to stab someone with an ice pick," she said. Jason ran the arcade side, which was mostly about walking around with a quarter belt and giving out change, which sometimes got thrown at the dancers. This is probably one of the many reasons we were the first arcade slash strip club in the city. Ben is still in the hospital from the Japanese guy's kick, as far as we know. We talked about paying his bill, but when we thought about it in terms of philosophy and letter of the law versus spirit of the law, we decided fuck that guy. My part in this was I came up with the idea of having an act where someone runs out on stage in catcher's gear for people to throw quarters at. That way they could still throw quarters and we could collect them and the strippers were safe. I'm that someone in the catcher's gear, getting quarters thrown at his head really super hard. I learned a lot from when we tried to save the arcade. I forgot almost all of it because a quarter that's launched just right can hit me so, so hard in the forehead. But I'm guessing I learned a lot I've forgotten, sort of like how I used to know a lot about how to walk straight and sit in a chair without falling out of it. And in the end, isn't that what really counts? Plus jugs in video games. There you go. That is the thrilling conclusion of Save the Arcade. I hope you enjoyed it. As I went through here, I circled a couple typos, so I'll be putting up a new version of this, you know, which is more typo-free, typo-free-ish. And you can buy it if you'd like. Also, good news. Now you could leave like an Amazon review or something, huh? Help a brother out. If you like what you're hearing, Unhelpful Snowman. help me out. Leave me a review of some shit on Amazon or Goodreads or somewhere like that. Review the show on iTunes. I have a Patreon. You can find that at HelpfulSnowman.com. That's pretty easy. That's mostly it. That's really all the things you can do. So if you want to do any of that shit, fucking go for it. And if you don't, well, you're a freeloader. You're a freeloading sack of shit. But, I don't know. I guess at the very least, I get to abuse you verbally by calling you a freeloading sack of shit. So that's something. I'm getting something out of this relationship. And that's, isn't in the end, isn't that what really matters? Isn't that what we just learned? All right. See you next time.
Let's talk about someone, yeah. Asking the questions that nobody could. Like, where are the bone dogs and are they in harmony?